Coming to you from the mountains and the plains, the only conservative voices brave enough to push back. This is the Conservative Daily Podcast with Joe Altman.
That's what the Second Amendment was designed to do. If you're going to do something to nullify or take away my rights under the Constitution, come get it.
Max McGuire.
When you look at politicians on the left, they need to convince people that they are victims.
A resistance to the resistance.
And now your hosts, Joe Altman and Max McGuire.
And welcome back to another edition of the Conservative Daily Podcast. My name is Max McGuire. Joe is on his way. He'll be here shortly. We wanted to make sure we got started on time so that we don't leave everyone who is waiting for us waiting. So happy Friday, everyone. Again, today is Open Line Friday, 888-441-1121. If you want to call, preferably talk about the topic of the day, but pretty much anything, I guess, 888-441-1121 is the number. Now, this morning, the Gateway Pundit released a video from the TCF Center in Detroit, Michigan, that captures a late night, I guess in that case, early morning delivery of ballots. One delivery at 3:30 a.m., one delivery at 4:30 a.m. So we are going to cover this because it's a big deal. This is something that for months they've said never happened. We're going to cover this, and we're going to do so in a way that attempts to carve a very narrow exception in the terms of service from big tech that allows us to talk about this from a historical perspective. So we're going to treat this as a history podcast, explaining to you exactly what went down on November 3rd, November 4th, and the relevant laws, regulations, and then to borrow an old phrase from Fox News, we report, you decide. So we're going to try and carve out that exception. It's going to be very difficult to do. And if you call in, please make sure that you temper the language so that we can try and get this carved out, because this is a really important topic to discuss. So we're going to play the Gateway Pundit's video. We have, I went in and edited it because they had some background music. I don't want to get taken down for violating the copyright of the background music. So why don't we get started and play that? It's about 5 or 6 minutes long. And then we'll get into doing a deep dive and explaining what it all means. So let's get started with this, playing cut number one.
All right.
All right, where's that? My name is Shane Trejo. I was there as a poll challenger at TCF from about 9:30 p.m. to 5:30 a.m. The night after the election and the morning after the election in Detroit.
So here we see a white van arriving at 3:23 a.m. This is where I took out their audio from their music. I don't want to get taken down for copyright. You can see a white van arriving at the center at 3:23 a.m. It has a decal on the side, I believe, for the city elections department. So that white van arrives at 3:23 a.m. Important little factoid to note is that Michigan law requires that ballots be received by 8 p.m.
There's a big the facility where all the rooms were set up. You go to the back, and there's a way that cars can just drive right into the facility. And that was like a garage door that opened, and cars were coming in with the ballots. From what I saw, there was not one ballot that showed up from at least 10 p.m., at least 10:30 to the 3:30 a.m. when the number that Colbeck gave was 38,000 ballots showed up. There were, I counted over 50 different boxes of ballots that showed up all at once at 3:30 a.m. Someone gave an official count of 61. So 61 ballots, they were all in USPS boxes. It wasn't delivered by USPS.
61 boxes of ballots.
Yes, yes. And it wasn't delivered by USPS necessarily. It was in a van, a white van, that had the city clerk's emblem on it. And the city, it said Janice Winfrey, there's some tagline.
Some reports indicate that there are two other vehicles there at the same time. And I don't know if there's affidavits to that effect. I can say that me personally, I went back there and I witnessed a little mini panel truck, if you will, with Detroit Elections Bureau regalia all over the side. It had a vehicle ID number on it. I didn't capture that, but we had other people that captured that information and the license plate number associated with it. It looked legit. And inside of it were and this gets into some chain of custody discussions. There's no verification that there was a Republican and a Democrat during transfer. We don't know that they didn't take side stops to a nearby Coney Island to pick up a few more ballots from their buddies. We have no way of verifying any of that information.
Are you supposed to be able to have that information?
We're supposed to be able to, have verification of that all the way along the line. The whole chain of custody, we're supposed to be there, and because they were not sealed. If they were sealed, all this stuff was sealed, and you verified the seal, and then when you came to another destination and you see the seal still intact, all right, that's okay.
So that's what the verification is supposed to look like.
That's what we're supposed to see.
Chain of custody.
Yeah, when I do it in the suburbs where I was a senator, when I saw that come in, we had pretty much a whole army that would get out of the van, get out there, pull up all the data from the precinct, put it in the van under configuration control. Everything was sealed up with the tape and put out there. There was probably one of the most egregious aspects of what happened in the city of Detroit at the AV County Board was the utter lack of respect for chain of custody.
So here you can see the video keeps going where they're unloading these USPS boxes. And anyone who has ever stopped their mail, placed a hold on their mail, knows exactly what these boxes look like. They're open top. They're like a white, plasticky kind of material. And they just put the mail in it. That's what postal workers will use sometimes to carry mail in the back of their truck. It's not secure in any way, shape, or form. It's an open top, basically a glorified basket. They were taking them out of the van and unloading them. So here we see from the video that Gateway Pundit was able to get, and again, go over there if you want to see their full report. 3:53 a.m., the white van leaves the building. White van just dropped off all of their ballots, left the building. Important to note that they did have the ability to electronically enter, but they're back now. They're back at 4:30 a.m., an hour, less than an hour from when they left, but about an hour from their first arrival. They're back delivering more boxes of ballots. So we had one delivery at 3:30 in the morning, another delivery at 4:30 in the morning. The affidavits, people who signed the affidavits swear under penalty of perjury that there were between 50 and 61 ballots included. Boxes of ballots included in these two deliveries, or at least in the one. I don't know if they had a count on the second one. But really interesting stuff. We can go ahead and cut it, Mr. Producer. It looks like it's skipping. Really interesting stuff. Joining us on the show now, he wasn't here at the start, but he's back now, Mr. Joe Altman. Joe, I just explained to everyone, and I explained to you earlier, what we are attempting to do is to talk about this from a historical perspective, from a legal and regulatory perspective, to try and carve out that narrow exception that all the big tech companies say you can talk about the election as long as it's from a historical perspective. So we're not going to necessarily decide one way or another what this is, but we're going to report on everything and let everyone else decide. So what do you see when you watch that?
I have to be really careful because I have a really big opinion and I have access to lots of information. And so for me, this is more of a, I'm going to be a little bit more quiet when we talk about this and say that what we're seeing is all evidence that we would have had access to before January 20th and certainly before January 6th, had there not been obstructions in the way during the course of not just Michigan, but other states. And it's coincidental. I will tell you that we're having conversations and Mike Lindell actually did put out a video as well. It's 2 hours long.
And he got instantly banned for it.
Well, he got it.
He's gone now.
No, it's not. It's not gone now.
Oh, they put it back on. They took it down. Anyone who's posting it is getting it taken down. So well, I don't know if he's found a way to get around it, but anyone who posts it is getting immediately taken down.
Well, so just so you know, I put the video on the D Live. The fact that we're having to hide evidence, that we're having to not talk about stuff, is crazy to me.
Well, we're talking about it.
We're talking about it from a historical perspective, but the fact that they're trying to silence Mike Lindell, and he's like a dog with a bone. I mean, he's already saying, look, he's saying the same thing that I said, and that is, at some point, you have to stand up for something. I didn't say anything about the election.
I'm just getting very nervous because the Mike Lindell stuff, that That's a very tight rope.
So we can't even talk about what somebody's doing? I mean, come on. It just seems crazy to me. It seems crazy. This is America. This is the free thought. And we can't talk about things. And from a historical perspective, this happened. They can't say it didn't happen.
I mean, it's the security camera footage.
Yeah, but but what's crazy to me is that we're even having to talk about the fact that we can't talk about it. Do you know how crazy that seems?
Yeah.
When Mike, excuse me, when Ron DeSantis came out and said, I'm trying to be careful not to say anything that I'm not allowed to say, but he literally came out and said that he's going to start going after big tech for censorship, for what they're doing to, you know, 70% of America. This is not, he's doing this to 10% or 20% of the country. He's doing it. They're doing it to 70% of the country. Mm-hmm. They're silencing 70% of the country. And you get evidence like that, historical evidence like this of what happened in Michigan. And we're not stupid people. We're not stupid.
So what's really interesting with this is this footage has existed for months.
Yeah.
We should have had this footage in November. We should have had this footage at
least in
December.
But they stopped us from getting it.
They stopped us from getting it. So what we are going to do over the next hour or so, and also take your calls, 888-441-1121, is talk about how it all came about that we didn't get this footage. To explain, because this footage verifies at least two signed, sworn affidavits that a judge in Michigan declared was not trustworthy. He tossed them out and said it was not trustworthy. He didn't believe the affiants. Well, he could have gotten this footage.
Volcano? Right? Cap on volcano? You can only keep it for so long. Did you see the study that, and again, I'm not telling you that we have an opinion. There was just a study that came out of what people think across the nation about what happened at the election. And that number went from 73% to 84% in that study. Yeah. 1,000 people.
I believe
84% in this country based on what they're seeing, hearing, percolating to the top. And what's happening is because of all of this, truth coming out, factual historical data coming out. You see that, folks? I have to literally walk a tightrope because Max actually before the show said, Joe, can you do me a favor?
We can talk about it. We need to share this far and wide because they're going to stop people from seeing the security camera footage. So we need to make sure we show them the security camera footage. We need to make sure that we explain the law in Michigan surrounding how ballots can and cannot be transferred. And we have to explain how this was all brought to the attention of a judge in Michigan, but they decided not to do anything about it. So, it sucks that there's two words or three words we can't say. Those two or three words we can't say. But it's important to get the information out there to the widest possible audience. And right now, until we have our own platform, YouTube tends to be it's a little bit lower today, but for the last week, it's been our biggest audience for the live stream. So we want to put this out in a way that allows as many people to see this as possible.
Right.
And to do it in a way that doesn't guarantee that we're going to get banned. Because Mike Lindell, if he hasn't already, will be banned off of YouTube. I watched the video. Really interesting video. He brings on experts to talk about things. Also completely directly violates YouTube's terms of service. It's fine. He put it up there. And that's his fight. Right? I hope they don't take it down. I hope as many people see it as possible. But if we go down that road, right, we don't have as big of an audience as Mike Lindell does. We'll reach a few hundred people with that, and then we'll get taken down. So we have to thread that needle and talk about what we can talk about and show you the obvious implications, the obvious deductions that you can reach having seen this. So I want to, from there, we just watched it. I want to go to image one. This is an affidavit that was signed by Andrew Sitto. Andrew Sitto signed this affidavit in Michigan. It was submitted in that court case. He says that at approximately 4:30 a.m., I thought everyone was going to go home as our shift had ended. There were two men in charge of the counting, one in his 30s, one in his 50s. At approximately 4:30 a.m. on November 4th, 2020, the man in his 50s got on the microphone and stated that another shipment of absentee ballots would be arriving and would have to be counted. I heard other challengers say that several vehicles with out-of-state license plates pulled up to the TCF Center a little before 4:30 and unloaded boxes of ballots. At approximately 4:30 a.m., tens of thousands of ballots were brought in and placed on eight long tables. Unlike the other ballots, these boxes were brought in from the rear of the room. The same procedure was performed on the ballots that arrived at approximately 4:30 a.m., but I specifically noticed that every ballot I observed was cast for Joe Biden. While counting these new ballots, I heard counters say at least five or six times that all five or six ballots were for Joe Biden. All ballots sampled that I heard and observed were for Joe Biden. So that is an affidavit, right? That's an affidavit that was submitted.
And the judge said nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm. That was submitted by the Great Lakes Justice Center, which was one of the first lawsuits filed after the 2020 election. The judge didn't have anything to say about that. Let's put up image two. This is an affidavit from Daniel Gustafson. Image number two. Another affidavit from that lawsuit. He says, my name is Daniel Gustafson, and I'm an adult citizen resident of the state of Michigan. I served and was trained to be a poll watcher, for the November 3rd, 2020 election. Large quantities of ballots were delivered to the TCF Center in what appeared to be mail bins with open tops. These ballot bins and containers did not have lids, were not sealed, and did not have the capability of having a metal seal. The ballot bins were not marked or identified in any way to indicate their source of origin. The above information is true to the best of my knowledge, information, knowledge, and belief. Further affiant says not, and then he signed it. So again, another affiant under penalty of perjury submitting what he saw.
And these are not, you'll notice he didn't say absentee ballots, he said ballots.
Well, yeah, because he didn't know what specific ballots they were.
Well, if they were absentee ballots, they would be coming in envelopes.
Well, yes, unless so the way it also often will happen is they'll come in. Yeah, if it's absentee, they were supposed to be coming in envelopes. So we don't know what they were.
Yeah.
Right? We don't know what they were. And that's kind of the whole problem with this, as we'll cover with Michigan law, even though the judge decided not to even open the law to look at what the law says. Michigan law says that it has to be a sealed box. A transfer container has to be a sealed box. We'll cover that in a second. It wasn't. It was one of those USPS boxes.
They're like crates. You pick up your extra mail when you're out of town. It comes on this like tray. It's almost like a tray box, right?
I'm going to see if I can find a picture of it.
Yeah.
It's like a glorified basket, really. It's here's one. It's like a tote. It's like a tote. Well, this is a little bit different brand, but Mr. Producer. Oh, no. Wait, hold on. I can't. So, go to my screen, Mr. Producer. This is an example of it.
Yeah. It's a shorter one.
It's made of like some kind of polycarbonate material. There's two handles on each side and an open top. No one can possibly argue that is a secure box. It can never be a secure box.
Right.
It's not designed to be a secure box. Right? It's designed to put your mail in, give it to the mail carrier. He puts it in the truck and he goes house to house to house. Or as Joe said, if you ask them to hold your mail, they give it to you in one of these. A little bit shorter than that, but basically like one of those they call them space age totes on uline.com. We go ahead and take down my screen. Pretty obvious. That cannot be a secured container. I want to show you historically, because we're talking about history here, what the Detroit city attorney, how he responded to the lawsuit. Let's put up image number three. This is yet another belated lawsuit raising baseless allegations to try and undermine confidence in a well-run election. Like two previous lawsuits, this case is not based upon actual evidence of any election fraud or misconduct. It is based upon various conspiracy theories, which have already been debunked. We are confident this case, like the others filed last week, will be dismissed. There were more than 200 Republican challengers in the room at the TCF Center, but only five have come forward to support these claims, which actually tells us how well the process was run. In their rush to file this lawsuit, it does not even appear that the supposed witnesses read their affidavits. One witness couldn't get his own name right. Everything done here was for good reason, with one goal in mind, to be sure that every vote is counted. David Fink, Detroit City Attorney. So that was his immediate response.
Because there's no curiosity to truth. You'll notice that they don't use the word truth. They don't use the word truth. There's never a time that they use the word truth. You want to know why? Because I don't believe that they're searching for it. Matter of fact, they said that everything's been debunked. That's not true. That by itself is not true.
Every time anyone brings anything forward, like that, it's debunked, that Gateway Pundit video,
yeah.
It was debunked before they even received it, right? That's the game. Yeah. We know the game.
Yeah, but the game is we have to call them what they are.
Yeah.
What are they?
Yeah.
Come on, in the comments, well, tell me what they are.
They're liars.
They're liars. What else are they?
People are liars.
What else are they? Come on. I want to see if people are paying attention. In the comments, tell me what the radical left represents, please. I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to see it.
While they do those comments, the GLJC, the Great Lakes Justice Center, is the organization that filed this lawsuit. Yeah. I want to read, again, historically, what that judge said in his dismissal. And you can get the full dismissal online. We're not going to read the full dismissal. It's too long to read on the air, but we're going to give you little snippets specifically related to those affidavits we just read. People under oath, sworn under penalty of perjury, that they saw this, it happened. Let's go to image number 4. This is the judge. This is the judge in this case. Affiant Andrew Sitta was a Republican challenger who did not attend the October 29th walkthrough meeting. They're making that out to be like, oh, because he didn't attend, he has no right to say that there was any funny business. Provided to all challengers and organizations that would be appearing at the TCF Center on November 3rd and 4th, 2020. Mr. Sitta offers an affidavit indicating that he heard other challengers state that several vehicles with out-of-state license plates pulled up to the TCF Center at approximately 4:30 a.m. on November 4th. Mr. Sitta states that, quote, tens of thousands of ballots, end quote, were brought in and placed on 8 long tables, and unlike other ballots, were brought in from the rear of the room. Sitta also indicated that every ballot he saw after 4:30 a.m. was cast for former Vice President Biden. Let's go to the next one. Mr. Sitta's affidavit, while stating a few general facts, is rife with speculation and guesswork about sinister motives. Mr. Sitta knew little about the process of the absentee voter counting board activity. His sinister motives attributed to the city of Detroit were negated by Christopher Thomas's explanation that all ballots were delivered to the back of Hall E at the TCF Center. Thomas also indicated that the city utilized a rental truck to deliver ballots. There is no evidentiary basis to attribute any evil activity by virtue of the city using a rental truck with out-of-state licenses, license plates. Next one, image 6. Mr. Sitta contends that tens of thousands of ballots were brought into TCF Center at approximately 4:30 a.m. A number of ballots speculative on Mr. Sitta's part, as is his speculation that all ballots delivered were cast for Mr. Biden. It is not surprising that many of the votes observed by Mr. Sitta were votes cast for Mr. Biden. In light of the fact that former President, Vice President Biden received approximately 220,000 more votes than President Trump. And let's go to image number 7. Daniel Gustafson, another affiant, offers little other than to indicate that he witnessed large quantities of ballots delivered to the TCF Center in containers that did not have lids, were not sealed, or did not have marking indicated their source of origin. Wow, lots of typos in this official document. Mr. Gustafson's affidavit is another example of generalized speculation fueled by the belief that there was a Michigan legal requirement that all ballots had to be delivered in a sealed box. Plaintiffs have not supplied any statutory requirements supporting Mr. Gustafson's speculative suspicion of fraud.
Unbelievable.
This is what's amazing. I spent 5 minutes this morning and I could find the statute.
Yeah.
I spent 5 minutes. This guy's a judge in Michigan and he couldn't. Let me make sure I get the name. I don't want to accuse the wrong judge. That would be a real shame if we accuse the wrong judge. It took me five minutes to find the actual evidence. This is crazy. Judge Timothy Kenney, this is his name, Timothy Kenney, took me 5 damn minutes. Put up image number 8. This is the Michigan law discussing ballot containers. 168.24J, ballot container, examination by Board of County Canvassers, approval, procurement, use of disapproved container. Section 24J, a ballot container includes a ballot box, transfer case, or other container used to secure ballots, including optical scan ballots and electronic voting systems and data. A manufacturer or distributor of ballot containers shall submit a non-metal ballot container to the Secretary of State for approval under the requirements of subsection 3 before the ballot container is sold to a county, city, township, village, or school district for use at an election. This is the important part. A ballot container shall not be approved unless it meets both of the following requirements. A, it is made of metal, plastic, fiberglass, or other material that provides resistance to tampering. B, it is capable of being sealed with a metal seal. And then they go on to talk about what's going to happen in the next year after this provision was passed. It says a clerk who uses or permits the use of a ballot container that has not been approved under this section is guilty of a misdemeanor. So, anyone say that that is a secure container?
No, it's not. It's not a secure container. But what's more important than it not being a secured container is the fact that the media glossed over it and said nothing to see here. Chris Krebs, who's a lawyer that doesn't know anything about a code, came out and said it's the safest election ever. The committee that actually represented CISA, right, that group of people, was also represented by the companies that are the voting systems. And I'm not coming to any conclusion on this about whether there was or was not fraud, but I will tell you that the dismissiveness inside of this leads one to believe, 83-84% now, that we have massive issues in our country.
That we deserve to have these issues at least looked at.
But they don't want to look at them. That's the part we should be scared about. We can't even have a conversation about a video that they stopped people from getting access to until a month after the election, a month after the inauguration. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So it says that a ballot has to be capable of being sealed with a metal seal. Put it on my screen. I finally got the one from the USPS. That's what it looks like. That's the official one, right? Yeah. You cannot seal that with a metal seal.
No.
It's not a sealable ballot. It is not resistant to tampering. You take a knife and you get right through that thing. That's really, really thin, flimsy plastic. So it's obviously not a secure container. This judge, Timothy Kenny, pretends like, oh, well, you didn't cite the specific law to me, so I don't have to read it and apply it. I mean, it took me 5 minutes. Like maybe he's a judge and he has a claim, and unless he's well-versed in election law, maybe he sits back and says, you know what, that's an interesting point that they made. Let me open up the law or just do a simple Google search and see whether that point is valid. Notice he didn't do that. He didn't say after consulting with the law, this means nothing, right? After consulting with the law, telling me that it was not capable of being sealed by a metal seal means nothing because the law does not require it. He didn't do that. He said, well, you didn't tell me the law, so nah, 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 boo, boo, you lose. I mean, that's essentially what's happening. It's like a schoolyard argument. So the important part of that last image that we put up was transfer case. Put up image number 9, Mr. Producer. The definition of transfer case is actually enshrined in the law and in the election code, and it's section BB of this definition page. Transfer case means a metal container used for transporting and storing voted ballot cards. The container shall be capable of being sealed with a metal seal and be approved in the manner ballot boxes are approved pursuant to section 24J of the Act. Transfer case. A USPS flimsy, like, plastic basket.
Do you know what's happened in our country? Is that even the Department of Justice, the judges that serve, can say and do whatever they want in violation of the laws. They can actually violate the rights of people every single day. They can violate the rights and act with impunity. This just leads you down a path where we are dealing with a government that already doesn't represent the people. I said, I'm trying really hard.
Yeah, Max. I know. You're trying really hard. You're going to blow a coronary. That's how hard you're trying.
but no.
Well, that's getting gross.
You have to look at this on its face and say no representative government anymore. The DOJ can do whatever they want. Right, the judges within the judicial system can rule any way they want. They don't have to be well versed or even have Google, it appears, and understand the laws and rules within their state. And if you don't actually quote that in it, then they can just assume that it doesn't exist. Right? They can actually go against the American people, even just on the idea of let's be curious. let's be curious as to whether or not this did happen. But in every single state, it's like nothing to see here, nothing to see here, nothing to see here.
It was
overshadowed by media and overshadowed by big tech that shut things down. They shut down your ability to see those things. And that's not making things up. That's not hyperbole or a statement that is based on any sort of entertainment value. That's based on truth. No matter where you look, they wanted to explain it away. And we haven't even gotten to the part yet, which I think is really interesting, and I think we should probably at some point review it historically, and that is the math and science of things. The math and science.
That falls under math and science. That doesn't fall under history.
Well, is math and science available? I mean, are we allowed to do that?
We have to be very careful.
Historical math and science?
We can talk about historical math.
This is nuts.
Historical numbers.
And I'm smiling about it because I'm angry, and I think that smiling is probably the best thing I can do right now so that I don't want to punch someone in the face, which I don't really want to punch someone in the face as a disclaimer. Well, maybe I do, but I'm not going to tell you who, and I'm not going to tell you when. But I feel this angst and this anger because... You know, it doesn't matter. It does. The truth is no longer matters. Sensibilities in our society no longer matter. As long as you can push towards an indoctrinated view of reality.
So remember when we talked to that woman, I forget her name, from Michigan, one of the witnesses, she explained the problem with Detroit, how they aren't storing their ballots properly.
Right.
So because they weren't being stored in sealed containers properly, they would not survive a recount. Right, that was one of the reasons that 71 to 72% of Detroit's 71% precincts would not survive a recount because they weren't transferring and storing their ballots properly. Put up image 10. This is the specific law that deals with that. 16.871, section 871.
Yeah.
The Board of Canvassers conducting a recount pursuant to this chapter shall recount all ballots of a precinct using an electronic voting system unless one or more of the following circumstances exist. The seal on the transfer case or other ballot container is broken or bears a different number than that recorded on the poll book. The breaking or discrepancy is not explained to the satisfaction of the Board of Canvassers, and security of the ballots has not been otherwise preserved. So what we can say factually is even if Michigan, Detroit, says that the manner in which they unloaded those boxes was good enough to count, we can tell you absolutely that because they did it that way, it would not have survived a recount because they cannot prove the security of the ballots had been preserved. It's a weird kind of logical gap. It's okay to count it the first time, but if they had to go back and count it the second time, that evidence would be enough to toss those ballots out, which is what we've talked about, the 71% of ballots not being recountable. That's that. The craziness is that they're saying that they can't recount the ballots, but they should be allowed to count them the first time. That's where it gets really, really strange. But the judge, that judge, Timothy Kenney, isn't done. This is the, put up image 11. In explaining why he isn't going to give them injunctive relief, Timothy Kenney says, as stated above, plaintiffs have multiple remedies at law. Plaintiffs are free to petition the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, who are responsible for certifying the votes. Fraud claims can be brought to the Board of Canvassers, a panel that consists of two Republicans and two Democrats. If dissatisfied with the results, plaintiffs also can avail themselves of the legal remedy of a recount and a Secretary of State audit pursuant to MCL 168.31A. We just mentioned that even if they got the recount, they would win. Like, if they got the recount, they would win because these ballots, as we can now see from the video footage, which we'll play again later, could not survive a recount because they were not stored properly. But the argument that if they want, they should petition the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, we had a whole show on them. How they said they weren't going to certify, and then they got threatened with death, dismemberment, and threats against their family. And the Republicans on that committee relented just to make sure that, to refresh the memory, put up image 12, Mr. Producer. Image 12, threat against Wayne County canvasser leads to federal charges for New Hampshire woman. Federal prosecutors Wednesday filed charges against a New Hampshire woman accused of texting threats to the chairwoman of the Wayne County Board of Canvassers following the presidential election and sending photos of a bloody, mutilated female body. Caitlin Jones, 23, a former Olivet resident who lives in Epping, was charged with threatening violence through interstate commerce following an FBI investigation that probed lingering fallout from President Trump's defeat and baseless allegation of voting irregularities. So the judge says, I'm not going to open the book. I'm not going to read the law. And if you want relief, petition the Board of Canvassers. The Board of Canvassers said, they said that we're not comfortable with this, but they voted to certify anyway because they were getting threats. They did it under duress. Historically, let's look at the history of the whole thing. We never should have been to this point. That judge should have heard the case. Listen, Joe, if you or I, if we are sitting on the side of the road and we see someone in a car hit another car and drive away, and we both have the license plate, you and me can both give a sworn statement to a police officer that we saw it happen, and that would be enough for the police officer to track down the car and not, maybe not arrest them, but at least charge them with leaving the scene of an accident. If two affidavits are enough to get a traffic violation enforced, why is it that two affidavits, which we now can say were correct in their description of what happened in those back rooms at the TCF Center, why is it that no judge would actually say, you know what, this is an interesting affidavit. I want to see if they're telling the truth. I'm going to order the TCF Center to give us the video. Very easy to understand whether it's truthful or not. Check the video. And if it's truthful, oh, wow, all of a sudden this is truthful. But he didn't do that. He just said he does not trust the affiants and he trusts other people who submitted countering affidavits. He trusts their take on events as more trustworthy than the original ones.
Was he an Obama-appointed judge?
I don't know enough about him.
I think that's probably the next thing we look in, right? Is what? Who was he appointed by?
He's a state judge, so he can't be appointed by.
Okay. Was he then elected?
He can't be appointed by Obama. Timothy M. Kenny is the chief judge of the Third Circuit Court in Wayne County, Michigan. He says he's a nonpartisan. Interesting.
Interesting.
But he did receive the Guardian of Justice Award for the Arab American Anti-Discrimination Committee. Sorry, the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. So use that bit of information as you will. Michigan judges apparently don't run as Republicans or Democrats, but he seems to have some accolades from left-leaning groups. Interesting. I mean, like, I'm stunned because if you or I, Joe, told a police officer we saw a crime happen, that police officer would then have enough to go and at least pull the guy over.
Right.
Right. And ask him, were you in this area to see if we're telling the truth? But with this, with everything on the line, you have two affiants coming forward and say, I saw this. And instead of the judge saying, let's look into this. This is interesting. Let's prove it one way or another. He threw it out and said that they can't be trusted.
Guys, everybody hit the share button if you can on every platform. So that YouTube, DLive, and Facebook, you basically can actually share it with people. We actually did, I don't know if anybody got the message today, but from the tech standpoint, they tried to take down text for us. So we've been working with making sure that we can get those texts out again.
Oh, they tried to take down our text system?
Yeah, the left did. Yeah.
How did that happen? Tell me, I haven't heard about that.
I actually don't think a text went out today. I think we sent it, but I don't think a text went out today.
It is. So that's interesting. So,
yeah, so I don't think people got
Who tried to take us down? Do we know anything?
Well, we've sent it over to the attorneys, so we're going to let the attorneys handle it. But now we're just executing lawsuits daily. We have one lawsuit that we're placing against a couple of media outlets, and we have others that we're going to be doing here shortly. Yeah. So I apologize if you guys did not get your text alerts. The reason why you didn't get your text alerts is because of, I guess, the leftists that don't want you to hear truth, right? That's all it is. They weaponize everything.
Just so
it's
we know,
crazy. Yeah.
The only thing we use that text number for,
mm-hmm.
the only thing that we use it for is to send out a notification every day informing people that our show is live.
Right.
And you could watch it at these locations.
Yeah.
We give usually a sentence description of what we plan to talk about, and then here's where you can watch.
Yeah, so they said that inside the text, I guess, that something where there was a donation and we're not a nonprofit, quote unquote. So there must have been something.
Oh, so we can't have donations.
Cannot have donations.
Yeah, we've had donations. We cannot have donations.
Yeah, cannot
okay.
have donations. So we cannot.
So we
send
cannot
out a
have
text.
Donations.
We're
can
not
we
allowed.
Tell everyone that yeah. the way they can donate is bit.ly/cd-donate.
Yeah, you can do all that as well, guys. I want everybody to understand something. If you know, when we ask you for donations, it's not like, oh, anybody here gets paid more. I don't get paid at all, right? I don't even have a job. It's kind of fun. But I do have a job. I have a job being on this show with you all. But we ask for donations so that we can actually pursue these legal challenges. We can actually go after the Eric Coomers of the world that you know filed a lawsuit against us. And yesterday, I'll just kind of say this. Yesterday, I did a show on what we were filing as the motion to dismiss in that case. And as soon as I actually got off the show, which is why you can't find it anywhere right now, we got an amended complaint, which means we have another 14 days and we have to amend our answer to make sure it aligns with the information, the rules of that as well. So it's going to be an interesting battle, because I think that they're going to keep maneuvering and kind of moving chess pieces to make it more difficult yeah. and try to push it out as far as they possibly can. But we're going to get accountability. We're going to get it. And we don't care what it costs us. We don't care. We don't care. I don't care what it costs us. But if you can help us, great. We'd really like to, we'd really like to have your support, right? And the other way that you can, and Max just put it up on the thing, the Bit.ly deal, and we can also just put it out we'll put it in all the comment sections as well. But yeah, we need your support. We can't.
Where did it say that we're not allowed to get donations?
You're not allowed unless you're a C3, and Conservative Daily is not a C3.
We can't ask for a donation.
We can't ask for a donation through text. C3. Through text.
Through text.
Yeah, through text.
Interesting.
Yeah, it
That's
is interesting.
Interesting.
Huh?
So can we call it something else? Can we call it purchasing nothing?
Yeah, so we're not going to do that. We're gonna just tell people on here, and we'll start sending
out
emails.
That instead of donating, they are purchasing one kiss that me or you will blow to them from the rooftops.
I'll give that
we'll
to you
blow
for
them
free.
A kiss.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's interesting.
Yeah. And we got some other stuff that we're doing, guys. We're building out an entire e-commerce environment. We're getting out the videos so you can actually, we can deplatform completely and just have one place where it's on our site where, and obviously we have the podcast environments. So, and then, you know, frankly, we're going through some other things in order to make sure we get this raise done. We're meeting with CF platforms, which are crowdfunding platforms, and I kind of walk through that. We'll probably do a show at some point, Max, in the next couple of days to kind of talk about what that looks like for this fundraise for a eventual IPO. So we got to go through a couple steps in order to make sure that happens.
So in the meantime, we might have to change it. So instead of donating, you'll just be purchasing nothing.
Well, I don't know if we're allowed to do the purchasing nothing part either.
We purchase nothing.
Hey.
What?
But you can't, as long as we don't send it out on the tech side, we'll be fine. Right? So we violated the rules of the text kingdom. And we had a Coomerite that I guess was the one that complained about it. So our
carrier. So are we going to get back, or are we permanently banned?
No, we can get it back.
Okay.
Yeah, we can get it back. But I mean, they're suspending us for a couple of days. So we just got to find another way. The other way is you can go to conservative-daily.com and you can just sign up for the email list as well.
Yeah.
And we can take care of you there as well. So look, we're not going to stop trying to reach out. And obviously we do this every day at 12 o'clock. So just remember that, set a calendar invite for every single day, 6 days a week. I guess that's another way to
that's
do it.
That's the other way. I mean, they say if you don't like social media censorship, build your own platform. We built a platform,
and now we have to tell
you all to set a calendar invite. And they say if you don't like Google calendars, build your own calendar app. I mean, this is getting stupid.
We actually do that. We have a portal that we're actually launching that will give us the ability to push out all those deals, and then we're building an app that you could download to your Android app or Android phone. Without going through any sort of app platform as well. So they can't get to us in a lot of areas because frankly, we have our own servers, we have our own, we don't use cloud platforms, we don't use any of that stuff. We are our own cloud. And so, they're just trying to find ways to silence us. And you don't cut the tongue out of someone who's lying. You cut the tongue out of someone who's telling the truth, right? And we're dealing with people that want to suppress the truth. And what we're talking about right now with the ballot delivery, I don't know how people can not, if you're not evil, if you're not a liar, if you're not a deceiver, a cheat, a pedophile, a rapist, a closet racist, if you're not complicit in that behavior, then you should have no problem in being curious about truth. And what we're seeing right now is that people out there historically are now getting access to more information. And what are they doing? They're censoring more. I mean, Mike Lindell, they took down his Twitter account, not just for him, but for his company. And he didn't post anything.
No pillows. No pillows.
He didn't even post anything on his account having anything to do with the election at all. But they took it down to punish him.
They're taking things that he does off the platform and banning anything he's connected to on the platform, apparently for fear that the MyPillow official Twitter account is going to start tweeting out things about election fraud, which it never was, right? That's the business. He's allowed to have his own personal opinion without saying that it's the same as the business. I mean, that's kind of the problem with Eric Coomer's lawsuit against you. That not only did they sue you as an individual, they sued pretty much every related business as well. We can't have it both ways. You can't be the business and the individual. It's an interesting dynamic.
But the thing is that evil has no bounds, right? They don't have a conscience. They don't have the ability to feel bad about what they're doing. They're sociopaths. They're people with literally a selfish desire to only do harm to others to make themselves better. That's the definition of what we're dealing with on the radical left. And if you can't, and I don't even know if you're allowed to say radical left anymore, right? You come out say radical left and they're like, oh, you can't do that. That's hateful. They took down, just so you know, they suspended Focus on the Family's Twitter account, right? Mm-hmm. Because Focus on the Family because they talked about the person of education, the transgender person. What are they?
Yeah. The Secretary of Education.
Secretary of Education. And they basically put a transgender, comma, a biological man, comma, who's now claiming to be a woman, right?
Yeah, they defined it.
They defined it, which they just defined the transgender.
The claiming is what they got them for.
And so they basically said that by actually describing the word transgender, you're actually, it's hate speech. I mean, just think about that, people. Yeah. It's hate speech to now define something about a person, and it's hate speech. And we as people have to start standing together. Like we're dealing with people that have no, they don't care about us. Right, we are a pawn in their game.
Imagine if they did that for anti-Semitism. If I say, Joe, what's a Jewish person? And you say, well, a Jewish person is someone who can trace their lineage back to one of the tribes of Israel. I say, oh no, you just defined the term. That makes you anti-Semitic. I mean, that's how crazy we're talking, right? That's how crazy it is, defining the term. Even if they say, well, you defined it wrong. Okay, sorry, Facebook, Twitter, are you also a dictionary? Last time I checked, you weren't. That's insane. Mr. Producer Josh just message me, instead of donations, we should take payments, not for nothing, but for a mention on the show.
Oh, or I love that idea.
Potentially putting their name in a ticker that goes across the bottom as having donated. So that's something we can sell advertising for your name.
Yeah.
Of how awesome you are.
Yeah. And what state you're in.
And Joe will also go to the window and blow you a kiss. That we can promise.
Yes. Can I blow Coomer a kiss?
That sounds like a euphemism.
It's really funny that we are at a place right now where we need to stand together. And one of the ways we stand together for everyone, I know we're talking about the Michigan ballot delivery. We just got to see the video. We're going to see it again.
And we're going to get back to it. Yeah.
Yeah. But the one thing we have to do is that we have to start being an advocate, right? We have to be ambassadors. So I'd like at some point for us to acknowledge that there have been great ambassadors that have been out there talking about Conservative Daily Podcast. And as a result of that, we've grown dramatically. But the voice, it's not as important that my voice or your voice gets heard. It's the truth gets heard. And so we constantly are out there talking about truth. And it's really difficult to combat truth. It's really difficult to take truth down. Now, me making a statement as to what I think that truth then generates or what the outcome, what the circumstances are that came out of that truth, I'm allowed. I mean, it's the First Amendment. If we don't have the First Amendment, we certainly can't have any amendment after that, right? And so we have to learn to become advocates. We have to learn to go talk to our neighbors and say, listen, you need to go look at Conservative Daily. We need to support this. We need one base. And what was really interesting is that I had a conversation this morning with the Truth and Liberty Coalition, which is based out of Colorado Springs, And we were talking about, you know, the message of truth and how we can get everyone on the same page. So we got some exciting things that we've been working on. And over the next, you know, month and a half, yes, we are going to deplatform the platforms. We are going to become a battering ram against the walled gardens. We are going to launch a technology company that gives people options. And I want to tell all of you that own businesses right now, you can go to PIN, right? You can go to actually PIN and do business with them if you need hosting or things like that. They will not take you down. Now, I don't have anything to do with that company anymore, but you do have an option. I mean, that company that I ran previously.
Whoa.
What?
No free ads.
That's not free ad. I don't run anything here. What are you talking about?
No free ads.
Yeah, I don't even have my office anymore. So
that's why he's in here.
Yeah, that's why I'm in here. But I want people to understand that we are at a critical point, and we have to become the people. We have to become the walking billboards. And as people said, maybe we'll just build T-shirts that talk about Conservative Daily Podcast, right? Maybe we'll just say Conservative Daily Podcast, and on the back It says Truth. We'll design those things, right? But and we'll put them out there. But I need everyone to understand that without you, without actually spreading this voice of truth, right? And frankly, even the people that are against it, keep spreading it, because, you know, we'll get to those radical leftists that frankly are just being manipulated, and they'll start hearing truth and they'll start doing their research. There are some smart people that have actually been turned in a direction that goes against reality, and we can get them. We can turn them as well. We'll do it one by one, but yeah. It takes you being and having the courage to actually do those things to make sure that people know what needs to be done to turn us back from this radicalism we're dealing with.
Well, we're going to take a quick break in a minute. And when we come back, we're going to keep talking about everything with Michigan, everything, a new report out with Time Magazine saying that the election was rigged. The
what?
Supreme Court is adding to its schedule the conference on February 19th. They are going to debate whether or not to hear the Georgia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania cases. Talk about that. And we'll show you the graph of what the vote count looked like historically, after all of those ballots were brought in through the back door at the TCF Center. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back after this short break.
Ronald Reagan famously said that our freedoms are never more than a generation away from extinction. Conservative Daily exists to make sure that never happens. With our community of 700,000 members, we fight every day to hold Congress's feet to the fire and stop them from surrendering our rights and freedoms. The fight to take this country back is not over. Please join our movement right now by going to conservative-daily.com and clicking the subscribe button to sign up for our free call to action newsletters. We have a chance to save this country, but only if we all work together. Again, this is conservative-daily.com, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button at the top.